Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out big news. Guys, for those of you who believe, and that's got to be almost everybody now, I don't know anybody who doesn't, in the future of electric vehicles, you're about to find out some information about what makes these batteries work, what problems they're having, and what solutions are needed to potentially open up a $130 billion market by 2033. So let's start off with this. In an electric vehicle battery, which is typically a lithium-ion battery, there are three main parts you need to know about: the anode, the cathode, and the electrolyte. Today, we're just going to talk about the anode, okay? It plays a crucial role in how the battery works. So specifically, it acts like a storage container for lithium ions. So it holds on to them when the battery is charged. It releases them when the battery is being used to power the car. So the flow of lithium ions is what makes the battery work and allows your electric vehicle to run on electric power. Okay, so that's the basic overview. Today, graphite anodes basically dominate the market. But there's a problem there because of this. They've essentially achieved their maximum performance in terms of energy density. And there is enter silicon, and why we're talking to HPQ silicon. Silicon-based anodes have up to 10 times the energy density of a graphite-based anode. So that's why Porsche, Mercedes, and General Motors are betting on silicon anode batteries. But it's not that simple. They're known to suffer from significant degradation during charging and discharging cycles. So it means it doesn't always hold on to the charge. Call it leaks, and it's a problem that has to be solved. That's where HPQ Silicon enters, because their affiliated company, Novasium, has acquired patents for improving the performance of anode materials. I'm glad we had that intro, otherwise you wouldn't have understood the headline. Bernard, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay, so hopefully I've accurately, in a summary form, captured the essence of the anode market, right? And the foundational shaking that's potentially going on there. Where did this come from with everything that's going on at HPQ? Where did this come from in terms of Novasium, and why is HPQ even involved, I got to ask, because it's Novasium that's acquired the patents.
Okay, well, we'll go from the beginning. We are a founding member of Novasium. We are also a large funder of Novasium. So as part of the, as written in a press release, as part of the original foundation agreement, HPQ has the worldwide licensing right of all the patents of Novasium. So that's really where we interject into it. We also interject in a different thing. This does not come out of the vacuum. This not comes out of nowhere. Originally, I think I probably even mentioned in the press release that we were more interested with regard to those patents for the supercapacitor. But for the last 16 months, about 16 months, Novasium has been doing a lot of the R&D for us with regard to how do we use silicone into anode, okay? It's not as simple as, getting 3N silicone out of 3N silicone, making 3N silicone like we do with the QRR is just a starting block. There is about a series of additional steps you do to convert that silicone into a silicone that can be used in battery material. Novasium has been doing a lot of work understanding the entire value chain. And as we were looking and testing, we've said it. We've sent material. We've built material for SI, silicon anode battery material. So we have a great depth of understanding what's going there at Novasium. And at one point, the discussion became, we also own those patents, which basically regards, and I'm going to be speaking as a layman because I'm not the scientist here. It's basically it's basically a surface treatment you can do to the material that will improve the efficiency of the battery. Now, the idea for us to use it when we were looking for our material, okay, was if you put it on the SI battery and all material that we're developing, it will improve the efficiency, and so it will improve it in two ways. And preliminary results came up to be very, very promising, okay? We didn't bother, we're not bothering yet to show quantitative details. Basically, people that know and understand know that, you know, it is something very, very promising moving forward. So we're working on this. We're doing that development for all that we're doing, the silicone anode for battery material. But lo and behold, when we were doing those tests, we also decided to test battery material, anode material that did not contain any silicone, to see if it would also generate improved results. And yes, preliminary feedback we got was, yes, it does that. Now, you know, there's still going to be a lot of R&D work and all those issues. But as you know, HPQ has signed a lot of NDAs with different battery manufacturers, as opposed to in fumed silica, where I talk about every one of them in batteries. I don't really bother anymore. But what happens is when we have update discussion, brainstorming session with those guys, we were very surprised. We were in the middle of a discussion with a big EV manufacturer, and the guys at Novation were explaining the surface treatment, what he can do, and you could almost see the reaction of the guy says, "Oh, this is something really of interest." So that started to trickle our fancies.
That's interesting, because what I wanted to ask you was, the race is on for silicon anodes, because we're talking about three major car manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Who believe in it, and obviously they're not going to just wait around for Georgecom silicon and HPQ silicon. So, mm-hmm. You know, how you talk about, you've seen reaction already from some people. What's the competitive landscape like out there for you, Bernard? What's the competitive landscape? How many Georgecom silicons are out there that are trying to do the same thing?
Well, it depends how you define Georgecom silicon. Okay. If you're defining Georgecom silicon as somebody that's working on silicone product to make battery material, which basically is trying to source them in different ways, there's probably 100, if not 1,000 companies doing this. If you're talking about one that can have a fully integrated process from the silicone all the way to the battery, there's only one, that's us. So it really depends where we fit. That's what differentiates us, because what we've learned from our discussion with battery manufacturer is consistency for them is much more important than price. It's really a question of consistency of the material. Now, if you buy a batch of within a batch of a product, you will get a material within a quality parameters. Okay, that will mean that'll be this big. Okay. Well, this is really too wide for the battery guys. They want something very, very thin. The only way you can have something very, very thin is if you have dedicated entire line of production. Now, for my competitor, that's almost an impossible task, because they're going bigger plants to make the raw material, and then they just convert it. So there'll be too much material out of spec to make it work. We, on the other hand, can really work with different counterpart to design a complete line of production and be ring fenced within it. That's always been the business strategy of HPQ. So I'm not HPQ with the QRR, where we're doing the battery, we're not going head to head with the big boys. We're going alone in the niche markets, which they can't really compete.
Well, what would be a niche market? Because, okay, just educate me here. I thought electric vehicle batteries are electric vehicle batteries.
No, it's not. Every electric battery has its own recipe. Okay.
And so educate us on that, because I didn't know that.
It's literally everybody's going to have their own secret recipe, secret sauce, from the electrolyte to the anode to the cathode, how it comes into it. What happens is the moment you start making it, okay, they start making it, they don't want that many things to change. So they get with a very tight cahier charge. Okay. It's the French word. Basically, you know, their demands for materials are very, very strict. Now, the advantage of what we're talking about for the entire industry is, in this case, there is a probability that just doing the surface treatment on traditional material, okay, can improve a bit the batteries that are already in the market. As opposed to silicone, you will have to go from the beginning all the way to the end to manufacture everything to get something ready. So this is why we're perfectly positioned at HPQ. We could probably license some of the work that comes out with the surface treatment, and as we develop our own expertise or our own material, and we could actually partner up or start discussion with other parties to say, okay, we have this specification. Can you make the material? And that material, will it be improved with the surface treatment? So there's a lot of options for us, and it's part of what we have to offer to the battery space. So the concept of this press release is based on my experience. Usually these types of press release attract, it's there to educate the shareholders what we're doing, telling them that we are advancing moving forward. But it's also there to attract industrial interest from people who's going to say, oh, what's this about this surface treatment? And then it's going to exchange the ballpark. It's going to be going. That's exactly how we've done it for all our other materials. So this is why we have to issue this press release. I thought it was a strategically important one to do now.
Well, before we hit record, the one thing I said to you was, who wrote this headline? Because I read a different headline because I kind of recrafted it. So when investors hear it, they kind of, whereas your headline was improving the performance of anode materials with Novasian patented surface treatment processes. And right away I said to you, did you write that headline for the industry? Because that sounds like an industry headline. So clearly now, that's what you're telling everyone. That was meant to put the word out, right? You're planting your flag out there
for the whole world to know. It's mean to educate that we have investors, or to tell investors that we have. So that simplifies. If I come up with another press release which says we've done XYZ, then I don't have to go back and explain why this was important. So it's part of a continuous disclosure. If you read our presentation on the battery space, we always said we will be testing. Actually, we even say on the thing we were gonna test our proprietary surface treatment on to see how it works with material. Now, originally we were doing most of the work for our own material, and the discussions are moving along. You got to realize that both with the IRA and the European, they're looking to reshore everything. And in the last week, we all heard that China decided to put export limits on graphite for batteries. So that's also going to be another catalyst for what we are doing. So if we can make the more silicone you can put in an anode of a battery, the less graphite you need.
Is that why in your press release you have this massively wide range? You go the market for silicone anode materials could be as high as 100, could be as low as $15 billion by 2030 or $130 billion by 2033. That's according to two different sources. Is that why? Because is China the X factor in all this? And that if they
those numbers were before the fact that China decided to cancel. So, maybe in a few weeks somebody's going to come up with different numbers. At this moment it's very difficult to pin down where it is. But what we know is that in China, in every one of their batteries, and the Chinese are the one that basically are the leaders right now in battery manufacturing. They do put silicone material. It's about between 5 to 10%. The goal is to increase it. And the goal, there's some goals to go to 100% silicone batteries. Is that going to be feasible or not? I don't know, but it's a good market to be in for what we're doing. And it fits our strategy of going after specialty markets. And, if you read all our press release, we are advancing in every one of those projects moving forward. Sometimes it might not seem to be very, very fast, but we've never been as advanced or as anything else.
So, commercialization is always something I like to talk about, because it's one thing for GeorgeCom Silicon to say, we've got this great silicon, but first thing shareholders are always going to ask is, well, does anybody want it? Is it viable? Is any good? I don't know. Because at the end of the day, we don't know at home, how good this may be. So your quote, Novasium's new patent surface treatment provides HPQ and Novasium with a unique opportunity to offer solutions tailored to both the short and long-term needs of the battery industry. That's kind of what you covered. Short-term, you can coat for graphite, long-term, you know, silicon. But then you go on to say, promising preliminary discussions have already started to take place with entities already under NDA with HPQ on the potential of this technology. And given how fast and furious your press release has been coming in 2023, and you've been pretty much on mark, I mean, give or take a little delay here and there, you've been pretty much on mark. That sounds like you're having some pretty, for you of all people to put in a press release, that sounds like that's pretty serious discussion that's probably taking place. This isn't just a one phone call, let's have a coffee. You want to expand on that as much as you can? Because I know the shareholders probably would be dying for you to expand on that.
Not yet. But I'm pretty sure we'll sit down and have another chat pretty soon about this. No, let me expand a bit, though, basically. I'm a bit too excited about this in the sense that...
pretty good to me.
It sounded pretty good to you. But I'll just say, as I explained prior, we were just having like one of those regular catch-up moments with the companies we have under NDA. And the interest was there. Now, with regard to the other things, yeah, there are things that are advancing in that regard. And you know, if you look at my pattern of doing press release, I try not to issue omnibus press release that cover everything anymore. I did that once. I think I have the world record for the longest press release.
But remember those days.
Yeah, you remember those days. Now, so basically now I like to try to bring it down when I can. It's not me that dictates everything, but when I can, basically bring it down in feasible steps. Step number one is to inform the market, the industry, my shareholders, that the surface treatment that we have, that we mentioned, A, we own it. Well, Novasium owns it, but we have the worldwide license. And B, there is some interest in that regard for moving forward. So that was just what it is. It was just saying to people, you know, stand by. There'll be a follow-up novel.
Devil's advocate. Novasium acquired a family of patents. I'm quoting the press release. A family of patents related to the surface treatment of carbon-based materials.
Mm-hmm.
How much testing has to take place with those patents to make sure that at the end of the day you can deliver, you know, a real solution? Or is it already there?
No, it's... I'm going to say this, it's how we, you know, as we wrote in the press release, it's how we adapt that process to the specificity of what we're doing. And what we said in the press release and what we know is that the preliminary results we have gotten are sufficiently exciting enough for us to start talking more about it. How much percentage it is, you know, we might want some more replicates. We're not going to taste like one series or maybe two series of batch results and say this is the end all or all. We're probably going to want more sustained series of testing before we start delivering those new information.
Is this the fourth leg to the company? Because we've got QRR. Is this the fourth leg now for the company? Because we've got QRR, fume silica, clean hydrogen. Is this the fourth one?
You see, what I've really learned, okay, is that the QRR will get its optimum valuation and utilization, okay, as the service provider for the silicone. So is it an independent? I don't think so. It's all interrelated. But what we are doing now is we will focus more on making silicone battery material, okay? So that by the time, and I've said that many times, by the time we end up going bigger with the QRR, we will already have the orders. We will already have the material. We already will know how much we will get for the material we'll be doing. You have to realize that All the material that we're looking at doing, okay, start with a minimum purity of 3N and maybe 3 to 4N, but 3N is really the key. So, and then there's multiple steps done after that. So we know that the QRR can do that part, which what that gives us, okay, is we know from the beginning is we will have a shorter feedstock cost than all my competitors. But having the shortest feedstock at the beginning is not the urgency. It is developing the material because these are long life cycle development for the battery space, okay? Because once they approve your material, there's no change. So it's going to be for a long run, right? So the way to look at this is there's going to be a massive upscale in production in the next 7 years. In the silicon, and we're just at the beginning of that scaling up. Yeah, so we're just at the beginning of scaling with the right time. We already got the QRR. We can make the feedstock, which differentiates us from everybody. And now it's just like working the entire up the value chain.
Yeah, that makes sense. But this has been another great press release. I mean, I don't have any more. Because this is brand new, or relatively brand new, I think I've asked all the questions to get the most out of beyond the press release. But is there something I've left out? Is there something that's part of this that, you know, we haven't talked about, a nuance that the shareholders should know about?
No, it's what shareholders should really understand is we're executing on our business plan. Okay. And I understand, and I know we're not supposed to be talking about the market, but this is really a case where the company and the markets are two different places. And I can understand why. Where that is because of the general overall market conditions. But what we're offering to the industry is a pathways to have greener material that's going to meet those objectives. And that's, we haven't talked about this, but that is becoming to what I'm learning from discussions I'm having in multiple school of technologies I have, is that the carbon footprint of a new industrial process is actually now probably one of the biggest key factor that was come into it. I was fundamentally told by somebody looking at our QRR technology. He says, Bernard, even if your QRR technologies cuts the cost of making silicone by 50%, okay, if there is no changes to the CO2 emissions related to the manufacturing, we will not be interested in it. Now, in our case, that's a good news because... That's what it is. But
you significantly chop it. But wow, you're basically saying even if you've got someone's cost by 50%, but you can't move the needle on CO2 emissions, it's a no-go.
That's what I've been told by some sources in the industry.
So that really puts a dent in the business models of the mega silicon producers. We always talk about the big CapEx, big mega producers, because they can maybe cut costs by scale, maybe somewhat, a little bit, but they can't touch. They can't really make a dent on the CO2 emission side. So that probably puts them in further peril and puts you in a further advantage.
Well, that puts us in the perfect advantage for the market that we're looking at, which is the higher value material. Okay. Because it is those value material where the CO2 content for the end buyer is going to play more and more into it. So, as I said, silicone, fume silica, they're all sandwich material. Nobody really cared how it was made, where it came into it. And now everybody does care how it's made, what's its carbon content, all those issues come into it. So our timing is perfect in every aspect except the market. If the market was any, you know, if there was more clarity about the next few months about the market condition, we wouldn't be where we are here. But that doesn't change the fact that we're advancing. That doesn't change the fact that we have a value proposition that will attract interest of significant players moving forward.
Well, this isn't the first time you've announced potential commercial interest. Right. Mm-hmm. In the fume silica side, you mentioned a couple of times now the possibility of commercial offtake agreements or joint ventures or adopting a technology. Here, talk about some good discussions with somebody that's under NDA to HPQ. I wish we could find out who that is. But so I say that because you're taking care of your part. You're taking care of the company. Better to have a company executing in a weaker stock market for the short term, you know, medium term, than it is to have a great stock market and an empty company that just kind of, you know, benefiting from higher paper prices, but doesn't have anything to deliver and sooner or later will collapse. I think, look, we'd all love to have both, right? What you have now in terms of the company, I think everyone's happy with that, right? Very few people are unhappy with that. Maybe people are like, why can't you make a $1 billion sale today? Because they don't understand how it works. And we'd also love it if the markets were green, no problems around the world, no geopolitical, no interest rate. But, you know, sooner or later, that always figures itself out and the good companies survive. So congratulations, Bernard. I'm going to say it again.
Thank you.
I didn't see this coming. It was great to see it come in. And from the answer you said earlier, it's clear to me anyways. I'm just doing George reading between the lines, but it sounds like I'm going to have you back in the not too distant future talking more about this. So until then, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks.
For everybody at home, if you've been watching or listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform, it's HPQ Silicon, trades in Canada, HPQ, in the US, HPQFF. Do your due diligence. If you believe in the future of electric vehicles, the role that anodes are going to play, the role that silicon is going to play in order to, you know, further advance us beyond the graphite limits that we've reached the outer limits of, then do your due diligence and hopefully you like what you see. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.